All right. Well, once again, graduates, we're so proud of you. I have to say, where'd Jonah go? He sneak out? Oh, he's over there. Come on, I want you in the front. It would be great. I'm talking to you guys, right? I'm gonna be preaching a message to you guys, but it's also for everybody else in the group, okay? But I am preaching it to you. Everybody here is gonna be able to get something out of it. We are so incredibly proud of you. I barely graduated high school, mostly just because, I don't know, I found out just recently I have ADHD, so that may have been part of it. But at this point, you know, you're not gonna be riding the big yellow bus. At this point, you know, you're not going to be dealing with the high school drama. You get to deal with the drama that all of us get to deal with all the time, but it's different. You're not going to be dealing with the same things, going into Navy, going to college, things of that nature. It's going to be a totally different experience, and I know that it's exciting, but I also know it can be incredibly scary. I know what you guys are in. You're like, man, here's what I'm doing. You stood here and you said it. But there's something in the back of your head that's like, you know, I really hope this is the right thing I'm supposed to be doing. Am I right? Anybody else been there? Anybody still there right now? I just heard Nate Proper and Mariah shared at God Stories, by the way. You guys need to come out to that. There's donuts, too, so it's awesome. 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And Nate went back to school, and while he had a family, he was doing school. So some of you are in the same shoes. You know, you get into a place, and you're like, where should I go? What should I do? Am I doing the right thing? Where should I live? Should I get that student loan? Should I go into the workforce? There's so many options, and at times, it can get us to be like almost like an overload of, I don't know how to make the choice of what to do. And oftentimes, when I speak to graduates, I feel like they're looking for God's perfect plan for their life. Anybody? Like, you want not just perfect, you want the specifics, right? What should I do? Where should I go? How do I do this? What do I do? Because now, I mean, before, your parents made all your decisions. But now, you're making decisions. And you're like, am I making the right ones? I think sometimes it can leave us paralyzed, or it can make us just giving up on everything altogether because we can't find God's plan, so therefore we'll just pave our own way. Both of those are wrong, and here's why I think we get into that. I call it the illusion of perfection. Every time you open up your phone and you're scrolling through Instagram, you're seeing the highlights of everyone else's life. You're seeing the husband and wife who are young and cute, and everybody loves them. They're so beautiful. And you're looking at that going, I want that. Oh my gosh, they're praying for each other. I want that. And you look, and you think in your mind, there's a perfect person. There's a perfect spouse. There's a perfect job. There's a perfect... We got to get all this stuff. And it's because we believe the lie of the illusion of perfection. We think there's something perfect in mind that we have to do, and if we don't do it, how am I going to figure it out? It's like I got to go chase a wild goose or something. Now, I don't believe that's true. See, while we're looking at their highlight reels, we're actually judging it based off of our behind-the-scenes living, right? And we're looking at our lives and wondering, why can't we measure up to be what they are? Why can't I do what they're doing? Why don't I have that spouse? Why don't I have this? And we can get paralyzed or make terrible decisions. We look at these things and we think, what if I screw it up? What if I don't make the right choice? What college or career should I choose? Or when I get out of the Army or the Navy, what should I do? What car should I buy? And we get so enamored by the illusion of perfection that sometimes, again, we just either stay stagnant or make poor decisions. But I want to talk to you today is, what if God doesn't bring you specific direction? And for some of you in the room, I would say, venture to say a lot of you, you know that God doesn't always give you specific direction on where to go. Come on, right? It's not like we're not asking for it. We are. But what if God doesn't? I want to share a portion of scripture for you that would really highlight this. It's going to make it really simple for you. It comes from the book of Corinthians. This was the Apostle Paul. If you're new to church, Apostle Paul, he's writing this letter to the church. He is so pumped up and excited for them. But if anyone in the world should know where they're going in life, should know the specifics. It should be the Apostle Paul, right? Now, read this with me. You don't have to read it out loud, but just read it here on the screen. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Okay, that makes sense. But then I underlined it here. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while, or even spend the winter. Could be a little while. Could be the whole winter. That's a guess. You never know. Even spend the winter. So that you may go help me on a journey wherever I go. Now, again, wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door of effective work is open for me and there are many who oppose me. Out of all the people in the Bible, I would think that Paul would have some pretty good specifics of if, you know, God should have been giving him specifics if you think about it from our human terms. But notice he doesn't. Perhaps, maybe, I hope to. Maybe I'll stay a little while. Maybe I'll stay a long while. I don't know. I think it's interesting when we're reading this. This is Paul. But write this down. I see some of you are taking notes. Awesome. Write this down. God doesn't always give specific instructions or specific direction, but God will always give wisdom. Wisdom. My sermon entitled for you this day, what I entitled it for you today is Wisdom for the Journey. Wisdom for the Journey. Graduates, you've got a long journey ahead of you right now. But I'm telling you, I don't think that we're supposed to be pursuing the specifics. I think we're supposed to be pursuing wisdom. And that's not just for you guys here in the front row. That's for all of us here at PCF right now. You need wisdom. So let's break down wisdom. Wisdom is not knowledge. Knowledge is something. You guys just went through this, right? And you've gained knowledge. You've learned how to read, write, you know, arithmetic. You've gained some knowledge. Some of you going back to college. Even I would say you're going to have some. So you're going to learn some things too in the military. So we have this. That's knowledge. That's accumulation of facts and understanding. It comes from education, experience, or learning. But then there's another thing called worldly wisdom. This is humans' wisdom, and it's not. It's not always bad. It's not always terrible, but it can be, right? Because a lot of times it's self-seeking. A lot of times it's trying to get ahead, the rat race in life. And it stems from almost like a human understanding or sometimes even a demonic influence. But the one that God wants us to pursue is godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. This is trying to understand God's view of everything. Does that make sense? I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. God's view. Now, the Bible says that humans' wisdom is foolish in comparison to godly wisdom. So I'm not saying you shouldn't have some knowledge. I think you should have that. Or even some earthly wisdom. Like you need to know not to touch the stove. That's hot. That's wisdom, right? But also, listen, Elon Musk has worldly wisdom. But I can promise you right now, just based off the news this week, that he's got another kid from another woman. He doesn't have godly wisdom. Amen? So I'm nothing against him. I'm just saying there is a difference of these things of wisdom. And I believe rather than us obsessing about the perfection, obsessing about which way to go and getting all worked up and everything, we're just going to ask God for wisdom. We are going to do that. So if you're writing notes, do this. Here's my first point. Seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Rather, again, to try to find God's perfect spouse, the perfect career, the perfect house, the perfect car, ask God for wisdom. So many times we're looking for that specific plan and we're begging him. We're seeking the specific duties because we've, again, believed this illusion of perception. So we're not looking for and seeking out the specifics. We're seeking out wisdom. See, if I was to put a booth outside And after church, I had two booths, and one of them said, "Find God's perfect will for your life." Okay? And it's free. And then there would be another booth that says, "Find God's wisdom." I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I think the specific one is going to be the one with the longer line. It's because in our minds, we just want to know. Does anybody just want to know? I know my wife just wants to know, that's for sure. I'm not saying it's wrong to seek God's specifics, but at the same time, we need to be pursuing and seeking after and chasing wisdom, seeing how God does things. Wisdom is one, remember last week we spoke about how he's our father. Wisdom is one of the best traits that you can try to emulate from your heavenly father. It is one of the most important ones. In fact, this is what this guy named Solomon did in the Old Testament. Solomon, the son of David, he was a king. And I want you, if you're not a church person, for those of you in the room, let me just give you a quick lesson on this. Solomon, who when he became king, he had to sacrifice one bull for him to become king. And instead of doing one burnt offering, he did 1,000. 1,000. And because he did this, and Solomon, he was just trying to worship God. He was trying to worship God with extravagance. Instead of just making one sacrifice, he's going to give 1,000. 1,000. An extravagant worship act to God. And a dream, right afterwards, God said to him in this dream, he's like, "Listen, man." He's like, "I'll give you whatever you want." How many of you know that an act of generosity to the Lord does not go unnoticed? That's just a side note. Generosity moves the heart of God. So anyway, God says to him, "I'll give you whatever you want." And Solomon doesn't say, "Is give me riches," because that's what we would do, right? Come on, come on. If God said to you in a dream, "I'll give you whatever you want," I know what Heidi and Bucky are thinking. Sweet, I want a new roof, a new barn. I want those trees removed from our house. They had a windstorm tornado destroy everything in their house. Just go over there on Flynn Road. It's crazy. But I know what you'd be thinking. I'd be thinking the same thing. Like, oh man, I could pay off my mortgage. This would be great. And he's a king. So you would think maybe he would say, "Destroy my enemies. Give me more power." But no, here's what he says. He says, "God, would you help me be a good king? And would you give me wisdom to know right from wrong? Give me wisdom to make the right decision to honor you." That was his heart. He wasn't seeking specifics. He wasn't seeking riches. And here's what God says to him. He says, God said, "Hey, because you didn't ask for all these things, I'm going to give them to you anyway." Ooh, what a good deal. Amen. I'm going to give you wisdom on top of that. And this is why Solomon said, and we're going to be looking at all of Solomon's words in the book of Proverbs today. He says in Proverbs 4:7, "Wisdom is the principal thing." I believe I have this on the screen. Wisdom is the principal thing. Main thing. "Therefore, get wisdom." And then he says, "And all you're getting, get understanding." So I look at this, say, get all your wisdom. And in your getting, get more wisdom. I think it's pretty important. He's saying this is the principal thing. This is the most important thing that you have. And how many of you have been alive long enough? Maybe it's some of you guys. Maybe it's some of you in your 20s or 30s or even 50s, 60s, 70s. And you say these words, "Man, I wish I knew now. I wish I knew it back then. I wish I knew what I know now back then. I wish that," because how many of you would have avoided some really big pitfalls in your life? That's wisdom. That's wisdom. God is teaching you things along the way. I wish I knew. But wisdom, above all else, is what Solomon says, is worth more than gold. That's how much he took it. So get wisdom. "God, I want to know where to go. I want you to show me to do. But God, even when you don't show me to do, give me wisdom, Lord." You must seek wisdom. James says this in James 1:5. "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault," amen, "and will be given to you." James is telling us that we should ask God, that we should seek God. So you're like, "What do we do, preacher man? How do I do this?" Let me make it really simple. Just admit that you're an idiot. Admit that you're an idiot. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your hearts and lean not on your own understanding. What does that mean? I'm an idiot in comparison to you. You're awesome and smart and wise, and I'm dumb, right? In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. It doesn't say that he'll tell you everything. Doesn't say he'll be specific, but he'll guide you. Do not be wise in your own eyes. See, that's what a fool does. A fool thinks he's smarter than God. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. See, this is where we have to realize that we're an idiot. I don't know. What did you learn at church today? I learned not to be an idiot. Yeah, it's true. But you also need to realize and have the understanding that you are in comparison to him. You're not leaning on your understanding. You're leaning on him. If you lean on your own, it's like when James says, this is in my notes, but when James does say, hey, go ask for God, he's going to give you wisdom. After that, he says, don't doubt it. What does he mean by that? Don't take matters into your own hands and try to act like you know more than God. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes. I mean, I'm giving you guys some meat here this morning that's going to help you in your life. I promise. You take these words, it's going to help you. If you want wisdom, you must realize you don't have any. You just got to realize it. You don't have godly wisdom. It's something that we need to seek and try to go after. But it's hard to admit that we don't know what's going on. It's hard to admit that we don't know what's best, right? How many of you walk into Lowe's or Value and you walk in and there's the clerk, 17-year-old punk kid that looks like he just got done smoking pot on his break, and he's like, excuse me, sir, can I help you find anything? I don't want your help. I know what I'm doing. I know more than you, as Ron Swanson once said. That's how I feel. It's like I would rather go through the whole store, all of Lowe's, and look for the thing I have rather than ask somebody for help. See, that's one thing to do that with a kid at Value or whatever. That's one thing to do it there, but when we're doing that with God, when we can't admit that we need help finding something, when we can't admit that we don't know it right, listen, I believe that God is saying you need to admit that you don't know and stop avoiding asking me for help. Stop avoiding asking me for wisdom. How about the Word of God? This is a great place to find. Right now, I would just encourage you, go read the scriptures. Read Proverbs. Get into Proverbs. If anything else, start in Proverbs. You will learn wisdom beyond belief. This is like having, this is a great example. If you've ever put together furniture, anybody? If you guys don't know what this is, buckle up, because it's the worst part of your life, is putting together furniture. Ladies, find a husband that will do it without complaining. My wife didn't, and it's one of the things she wished she would have known back then that she knows now. I hate putting furniture together. And on top of putting furniture together, they give you these directions. I don't want to read the directions. I just want to wing it. Anybody? It's like, I can look at the picture and figure it out, and then when you get the thing that should be a shelf looks more like a, I don't know, like an abstract abstract piece of art or something, when that happens, you're like, oh, shoot, I should have read the directions. That's like what we need to do with the Word of God. You want to know how to get through this life? Read the directions. Come on. Anybody? It's like if you're spending more time trying to find the answers to life through your friends or through all these other things, that's not godly wisdom. Go to the source. Go right to his word and find the instructions so that your life doesn't look like an abstract piece of art later. If you want wisdom, if you want godly wisdom, not knowledge, not worldly wisdom, here's number two, you need to walk in wisdom. Would you look at your neighbor and say, walk in wisdom? Walk in wisdom. When I say that, what I'm saying is, walk it out. Walk it out. In other words, don't be an idiot. There's a theme here, if you haven't found it. And it's all throughout Proverbs. Read your Bibles. Here we go. Let's check this out. Proverbs 28, 26. Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. See, walking in wisdom is a consistent thing that we need to be doing in our lives. Not just a Sunday morning thing. If you've been wondering, God, why aren't you giving me wisdom, but you're only walking in it right here on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, you may have a problem finding wisdom because you're only seeking it one day out of the week. You got to walk patiently, consistently in wisdom. That means constantly waking up and asking God, God, will you guide my day today? Lord, would you, I don't know what I have. I'm going to make some plans. I'm going to do some things. But Lord, would you just guide me? Would you speak to me? Would you move in my life? Lord, I want this to be consistent. Because what it says here is those who are dependent on him, those who walk in wisdom, because those who trust in themselves are fools. I don't want to be a fool. Do you? So I don't want to trust in my wisdom of what I think is right. I want to trust in what he thinks is right. So seriously, all of us in the room, think back at this year since January. In that way, have you trusted in God's ways or have you trusted in your own ways? Just answer in your own mind. You don't have to blurt it out. Oh, don't do that. Our goal in this walk as Christians is that our goal is that we're going to be consistent in wisdom. We're going to be consistent, daily walking it out. Will you have mistakes? Yes, you will have mistakes. It's definitely going to happen. But it's the consistency. I would rather have more of a consistency of walking in God and walking in wisdom than have a consistency of screwing up all the time. Does that make sense? I mean, I'm going to screw up, but I want to keep going back to him. So don't give up on walking in wisdom. When other people in your life don't want you to walk in wisdom, don't give up on it. So here's my question. Who are you walking with? Who are you walking with? You've probably heard this a million times. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. It's true. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Proverbs 13:20 says this, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble. Come on, this is true. If you walk with the wise, you become wise. If you walk with idiots, you're going to be an idiot and you're going to get in trouble. Do you guys see? There's a theme here. I think we could just entitle this, forget the title, just call it, Don't Be an Idiot. And admit that you're an idiot at the same time. It's crazy how it works. So check this out. If you walk with the wise, you become wise. If you walk with fools, you get into trouble. So think about this image for a moment. Think about three men in the front seat of a pickup truck. Nothing good can come out of that, ever. Have you noticed this? I mean, when we lived down south, if you saw three guys in the front bench of a pickup truck, something bad's going down. That's how the South works. They got a big old truck, a bench seat in the front. You got Tommy, Billy, and Frank all in the front row. You know, they're going over to their buddy's house. They're going to go blow stuff up. And somebody's going to say, hold my beer. Nothing good can come out of that moment. Because they're a bunch of idiots, right? You know, it's a recipe for disaster. How many of you believe that, right? How many of you believe that? You show me your friends, I'll show you my future, because it's almost impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. Yo, listen, please, hear me out here. Hear me out. Who are you walking with? Are you walking with your friends or people who are your friends, people who love God? Are the people in your life the people lifting you up and encouraging you and strengthening you? I'm going to tell you right now, for you guys not going to Cave Time, or you men, ladies, if you're not going to the ladies' things that we have going on, Cultivate, or any of the other things we offer in the church, you are missing out on having incredible godly friends, godly relationships who will lift you up and pray. Who will lift you up and keep you going and encourage you and give you. That's what God's looking for in your life. That's what he's saying. Let me put it to you this way. This phrase, associate with fools, or companion. Go back to that verse for me, David. This phrase, associate with fools or companion. Can you go back to it? Can you just go back to that verse, that last verse? There you go. Okay. Those walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools. This right here, this comes from the Hebrew word. It's R-A apostrophe A-H. I think it's raha, which means to tend to or feed sheep. Or in other words, shepherd. My question is, who's shepherding you? What does a shepherd do? A shepherd leads his sheep down a path. The shepherd takes them somewhere. The shepherd is leading them somewhere. So if you walk with the wise, you're going to wise places. But if you associate or you're shepherded by fools, who are you being shepherded with by? Who's leading you? I believe that God should be leading us. He should be our shepherd first and foremost. But the people in my life, listen, I didn't plan on saying this, but I got to tell you, last night we had a birthday party. My wife and I went and saw my friend Drew. He turned 40, as all of us are this year. It's fun. And humbling. But we were there, and I'm looking. We're in this circle. My friend Kevin, my friend Slim, my friend Jamie, my friend Drew. You know, we're in this circle, and it's awesome. Because I am so incredibly thankful for those men of God in my life. I can't tell you how much it matters to have friends who pray for you, friends who are asking if everything's okay, holding you accountable. I am so blessed to have godly, God-fearing men in my life who can speak into my life. And I just want to say, don't give up. When you go to college, you guys were saying, when you go to the military, when that happens, seek out wisdom and seek out wise friends. Get involved in going to a basic or whatever. Basic is a college ministry. I'm sure I can help you find some. Get involved in a young adult group. Find some other guys that are there that are pursuing the Lord, because if you walk with the wise, you'll be wise. But if you're shepherded by fools, you'll be a fool. Get in trouble. All right, last one. I tried to keep it safe for you because I know your attention span's like mine. Number three, listen to wisdom. It's one thing to seek it. It's one thing to walk in it. But will you even listen to it? How about this? How do you respond when wisdom is given to you unprovoked? You didn't ask for it. Come on. All of us in the room, how do we respond when somebody gives us wisdom that we didn't ask for? Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of the fools seem right to them, but the wise listen to advice." The way of the fool, it seems right to them, meaning, I got this. I can do it. I can do it on my own. Don't give me advice, Mom. Don't give me advice. That's where you're going right away, right? You're thinking to your parents. You're like, oh, my gosh. You're telling me I have to listen to your parents? I'm saying if they're giving you good advice, yeah, you should. You should. It's hard to. It's hard to do that. It's hard to do this because we want to do what we want to do. We think that we know what's going on, and yeah, if God tells us, I'll do it. But what if God's speaking to you through someone in your life? What if God's giving you wisdom to your boss that you can't stand, and he's giving you a wisdom that you should be accepting and listening to, but otherwise you're just rejecting it because it didn't come from you asking for it? when you get pulled over, right? When you get pulled over, Jess, I'm sorry. Jess got pulled over on the way here to church today. She didn't do anything wrong. It was a mix-up, and she dropped Jimmy's name, which I suggest you all do. She didn't, right? You didn't? I'm just joking. Jimmy would say, just tell him my name, right? But she got it. But that's the thing. Like, if we get pulled over, when we have these moments, are we listening to the advice being given to us or rejecting it? Because wisdom can come from ways that you never thought were possible. Wisdom, godly wisdom, can come straight from your enemy that you can't stand. Will you listen to it? Proverbs 12:1, as Solomon says this earlier in the chapter, he says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Guys, idiots, fools, stupid, you heard it all here at PCF this morning. I just love how simple this is. Like, literally, we should be reading Proverbs, like, daily, right? Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. It's so true. So what do you do? Where are you responding to correction? How are you responding to discipline? How do you respond when your boss tries to give you some pointers of how to make things better, or your drill sergeant, or when you're working with your professors, or you're working with people in your RAs or whatever? Your future boss is going to give you advice. Listen to it. When your mother and father give you advice, listen to it. When your pastor is speaking into your life, listen. Come on, parents, I'm sticking up for y'all. Where are you? If you want wisdom for the journey of your life, you need to listen to godly counsel in your life. It's one of the ways. You're reading the Word, you're asking God, you're submitting to the Holy Spirit, but you're also listening and being ready for wisdom wherever it comes in any way, shape, or form. I wanted to tell you this story, and I don't even know if he's, yeah, there he is. Dawson's right over there. Okay. I love this story because, Dawson, I'm going to single you out. Many moons ago, when Dawson was in your shoes, he came to us here at the church, and it was one of those rare occasions where he got myself, Scott, and Pastor Jeff, all three pastors, he got us all at the same time, and he came over, and his question was this: I want to go to Alfred. Am I right? Alfred State, and do welding, I think it was. Am I wrong? Okay, it was something like that. It was something like that, career field, okay? His second option was going to the military, right? And his third option was Bible school. So he goes to all three pastors saying, what do I do? He's doing what we should be doing too, seeking, listening, right? He did it. Here's what we told him. Ready? Doesn't matter. No, he's coming looking for us to go to Bible school. Okay. We didn't tell him to go to Bible school, did we? We didn't tell you. We didn't tell him not to go to the military. We didn't tell him not to go to anything. We said, whatever you do, pursue God, pursue his wisdom, and he will make your path straight. If you pursue, I'm telling you guys, your life, yes, come on. Yeah, we can do that. Give it up to him. It doesn't matter what you do, but the decisions in your life, if you are trying to pursue these decisions with godly wisdom, you are going to be okay. You are going to be okay. If you pursue wisdom, if you seek wisdom, if you walk in wisdom, you are going to be okay. God is going to direct your path. I want to look up this verse here. I was thinking of this morning, and I don't know, worship was awesome, wasn't it? Thank you so much. I want to look this up. It says in Proverbs that man makes plans, but the Lord directs his steps. That does not mean that you should not plan. But it means that you should be flexible to what God's calling you to do. So you can make plans. You guys did, and we're so proud of you. Those are awesome plans. All of us were great, wonderful plans. But he's the one that ultimately directs your steps. A lot of people read that wrong for years. They're like, don't plan because God's in control. No, God still wants you to plan. He still wants you to have a financial plan. He still wants you to have plans. Those are good, but we have to be open. And the only way we can really know where God's leading us is to pursue his wisdom. Will you stand with me today? Father, we thank you once again for all of these incredible, incredible graduates that are here with us this morning. Lord, I pray as they are moving into this next step, Lord, I pray that they would be pursuing your wisdom. Lord, the world's got a lot of it. They got their own wisdom. They got their own things. But God, we're looking for your wisdom, for your way of looking at things. Lord, let us have I pray not just for these students here, but for all of us in the room. God, I know Solomon had huge failures and huge problems on his own, but one thing is that he wanted your wisdom. Lord, let us be people like Solomon that are pursuing and valuing your wisdom above even riches. To value your wisdom above even the specific plans. Because Solomon knew that if he could just understand more of the heart of God and learn what to do in difficult situations based off of his way, that everything was going to work out and he was going to be a good king. Lord, we pray that. We want to have good lives. Lord, we want to be pursuing you and everything we got. But God, we know we can only get through this life with your wisdom. Lord, last week, I thank you so much, Lord, for that word, for your approval. I thank you for what you did in our lives with that. But Lord, today, we're even taking it a step further, and we're saying, God, we want your wisdom, godly wisdom, not human wisdom, not just knowledge. Lord, we want godly wisdom. I say, Lord, right now, would you give them a double portion of that this morning? Lord, I pray that in their coming days, as they're moving on and doing different things, and they'll find themselves in different situations and places. Lord, I pray that every morning they would wake up and ask, God, would you give me more of your wisdom today? Would you help me, Father? I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't lean on my own understanding. Lord, I'm going to tell you guys this. There's going to be things that happen in your life that you did not want to happen. There's going to be moments in your life that will come. It's not all going to be rosy. But if you have God's presence with you and you're continuing to seek out his wisdom, it's going to work all right. Lord, we pray blessings and favor over them in Jesus' name. I pray for everyone in this place. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us all here today. Lord, I thank you for the growth of this church. Lord, I pray you give us the wisdom to be able to steward it well. Help us, Lord. Help us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.